Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Cause you know it don't matter anyway.
Good snap, good hold, kick on its way, and the kick is good!
Yes!
Mitch Jeter, with 7 seconds left, gives the Irish a lead!
That was a call on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish Radio Network as Notre Dame knocks off Penn State 27-24 in the Capital One Orange Bowl. That was It was ugly, but that's the exact reason why I love college
ugly
football.
Ugly and proud. That's what you were right there.
It is my baby, and I will love it. I can call it ugly. Don't you dare call it ugly.
31 of 51 points scored in the fourth quarter.
It was awesome.
The first three quarters were egregious affront to offensive football.
But at least it ended excitingly.
Yeah,
but
it was...
Fourth quarter was very good. I am not arguing that.
Two really good defenses. And this is what the conversation we had yesterday is that... first of all, we ended the show with the conversation about Drew Aller being a first-round pick is absolutely lunacy. And I didn't understand it yesterday. I haven't understood what people have seen or what they are seeing from Drew Aller to say he would be a first-round pick. And there were still, like, draft analysts being like, well, looks like Drew Aller's probably not going to be coming out this season. It's like, well, yeah, duh. He is so far away from being a first-round draft pick in the National Football League. But when you look at college football, this is... I think we've been spoiled out west with the level of play at the quarterback position for so many years. Because, I mean, even if you look at, you know, Oregon State with guys like Sean Mannion and Jake Luton, and Oregon, obviously, with the run of quarterbacks that they've been on with Dylan Gabriel and Bo Nix and Justin Herbert, mm-hmm. like there, Marcus Mario, there's been really good quarterback play. Michael Penix up at Washington. Mm-hmm. You look at Washington State and the run of quarterbacks systematically, big reason why.
But whether it's Minshew or Mateer.
But they've operated at a really high level in that system. USC, Stanford, hell, Cal has had really good quarterback
Fernando
play.
Fernando Mendoza's... I mean, yeah.
We look at the West Coast and we look at quarterback play, and I don't think we're used to seeing this because you get so insulated with you watch your region, you watch the football of your team and their opponents, and you don't really get to see what the rest of the nation has to offer. I think that Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA fans, they got a pretty good idea this year of, wait, there is not a... hey, this quarterback, if he catches fire, he could hurt you, and they could uproot you, and they could beat you and mm-hmm. win a game. Like, that was always the fear in the Pac-12, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, you never know. That quarterback could get hot on the wrong day for your team, and you end up taking an L. Quarterback play is not very good across the board in college football.
No.
And I think it's the beauty of the 12-team playoff. But it also is to the detriment of these teams that end up losing and what their shortcomings and the shortfalls may be. Because with the 4-team playoff and with the old BCS, what you always saw was you saw a lot of SEC teams, and SEC does have better quarterback play. You saw the Big Ten teams with really good quarterback play, the ACC teams which had really good quarterback play. Those are the ones that survived and got into the 4-team playoff. With a 12-team field now, you are exposed more to... hey, these teams have got elite defenses, they've got superior running games, and they'll win in the trenches, but the quarterback play for a lot of schools is not very good. Like, it just isn't. And so that, with the 12-team playoff, you get these teams in the way the seeding was kind of jacked up this year. It's not just the best teams and the best quarterbacks that are going to be standing at the end. And I think we saw that with both sides. I thought Riley Leonard played a hell of a football game. Drew Aller did not. He did not one bit. And I think that, like,
horrendous.
That he did, first of all, and I know this has been going around a lot, did not complete a pass to a wide receiver yesterday.
And his wide receivers have not been great this season. Like no. Both things can be true, but, I mean, he didn't complete anything downfield to that was
well, the Tyler Warren catch where he got hurt was a big-time throw. And that was a gain of 30-ish. 30, and he hit him when he hit him on the sideline, and then he made a little run and got knocked out of bounds. But that was it. And I mean, look, there were throws in that game where he should have had three interceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, the pass interference in the end zone on that ball that was picked off, and they called PI. We need to stop this. And I tweeted this out yesterday. Defensive backs are low down dirty cheaters. They are. Little sons of bees.
Says the former wide receiver.
Well, yep, that may frame my judgment on them.
A little bit.
No, but they get away with a lot of grabbing. They get away with a lot of, you know, pulling you and bumping you off your route and all that stuff. That's part of the game, right?
Yeah.
And their job is damn near impossible because of the way the rules are set up. We need to stop rewarding quarterbacks for criminally underthrown footballs. There is no way Tyler Warren was going to make a play on that ball.
No.
In no way. And I understand the DB did not turn his head around. That ball was so underthrown. If that DB wasn't there, Tyler Warren still isn't making a play on that. That is an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 10 times out of 10. And then there was another one where there's defensive holding at the line of scrimmage. That one I do understand.
Okay.
But that was a bad throw, too. And then the final one, which is actually counted and wasn't wiped off the board.
Whack, 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 whack.
Well, it really... when they lined up on first down, I said, my son was like, they're going to go deep. And I go, no, they're not. They're running the football. And they did. They ran for like a 13-yard gain, and I go, they should run the ball again. And because the clock had stopped, you're just going to move the ball. You do not want to. If you have a quarterback who has not completed a ball to a wide receiver, who has thrown two interceptions that have been wiped off the board due to penalty, do not push this right now.
And the only thing you've got going for you is you've completed passes at the line of scrimmage and or some screens above the line of scrimmage. Because outside of that play to Warren, there was nothing that he was doing that you're like, yeah, let's give him the ball right now.
And when I said that, my wife goes, why? They snap the ball. Drew Aller stands in the pocket, looks, slides to his left, and then throws the ball back across his body off platform and throws an interception. I said, that's why. And it was just one of those plays where you go,
and it's a duck.
And I mean, feel,
good God,
so bad for that young man, because that's not how Drew Aller wanted that play to go. That's not how he wanted that game to go. I have a bigger issue with you put the game on his arm in that moment as a coaching staff, to where if you go to overtime, you give yourself a chance.
Sure.
But if you throw an interception in that moment, that's the worst thing that could happen, and it seemed inevitable after the two throws that were called back. That throw seemed inevitable.
And here's the thing. And I know you think I've been hard on the kid. This isn't the first time. Every single big moment, this is what he does.
He
falls apart. It's not like a little bit. And I'm not even using hyperbole. It's every single big moment. This kid craters to a level of just, and it's not like, it's not the thing of like, you know, oh, you know, it didn't work out. It crashes into the side of the mountain. Anybody living on the plane comes out of the plane on fire. Like it's so bad that there's nothing redemptive. Like this throw, you mentioned it, it's off platform, it's back across your body, it's all those things. There's one Penn State player in the middle of the field. There are three Notre Dame defenders. There's nothing here.
Yeah, and that's the other one with that interception that was called back on the PI was like, he underthrew a ball into triple coverage too. Like, and that, I feel for the young man because that's not how he wanted that game to end. But look at the end of the Oregon game. In the Big Ten Championship. That game ended with a Drew Aller interception
because on a horrendous throw.
They put it on his arm, right? You have to have more awareness. Like that, and Andy Kotelnicki is a damn fine offensive coordinator. I think James Franklin is a good head coach. But at some point, you need to be realistic. And I think that is where Franklin may run into the big issues as a head coach, is that he just says, no, this is the way we're going to do it, instead of being honest with what he has in the flow of the game and how the game is operating, right? When Kotelnicki says, we're going to throw the ball, James Franklin, he's be like, the hell we are. We can't play that way right now. Everything in the flow of that game and the way that it happened, it told you, do not throw the ball at the end of this game.
Did you see the Drew Aller quote after the game? I just now seeing this.
Which one? Where he
says he was trying to dirt at his feet?
Yeah, he said he was trying to throw it at his feet. But again,
what?
Well, like, again, I'll give that kid a ton of credit, because we see professional athletes that don't have the balls to go up and talk on the game.
100%.
He went up there and he talked and he was dejected. You could tell how much it hurt him, and he was honest in that moment. And yeah, he was trying to turf it, but the defensive end comes in and the ball sails a little bit because he wasn't able to step into a throw. Like, I do believe that, but you know what? In that moment, you shouldn't turf it back towards the middle of the field. That's why it's the worst throw in football, right? Mm-hmm. That's why every quarterback coach will tell you, never throw across your body back to the middle of the field, because the ball has a tendency to float on you. And when you don't have your feet set and you can't step into the throw, how are you going to turf it, right? If you're gonna say, we're going to live to play another down, you throw it 50 feet over Tyler Warren's head, and you know what happens? Even if they call intentional grounding, who cares? You live to play another down. You don't live to play another down throwing the ball across your body back towards the middle of the field. And that's brutal. That is a brutal way for that game to end for a defense that played their butts off, man. And that game was really exciting in that fourth quarter, back and forth. You know, 31 points were scored in that fourth quarter, and it looked like it was going to be just a standstill stalemate.
Dusty, there were 84 carries in this game.
Awesome. And who didn't expect that? Who didn't expect that coming into that game?
So crazy.